yearning that draws at the spirit or soul of a man. That thing is one of the highest moral values that most of the world religions are seeking after. Rock stars use their platform to make appeals for it. Presidents are elected because they want to advance it. People become famous because they are trying to promote it. Nearly everyone who has become someone in this world has made a quote about it. From kids to beauty pageants, everybody is trying to do their best to establish it. The highest honor worldwide that can be bestowed on a person is awarded to the person who makes the greatest achievements in terms of this value. And September 21st, they celebrate that person by giving them the honor of awarding them the Nobel Peace Prize. So obviously you can ascertain that what I am talking about today is the value or the topic of peace. One acronym that I read, and it's kind of makes sense in today's generation of peace, is this, an acronym for peace. Please encourage anyone curing Earth. The world knows that the cure to the world's problems is peace. One of those musicians or rock stars that I mentioned who used their platform to promote peace was John Lennon. Any of you have heard of John Lennon? A few of you? Most of you? When I read this, you'll recognize the song, but he said this: all we're saying is give peace a chance. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say that I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. I don't know, did somebody sing that to the proper tune? I'm not going to try. And I'm not going to call you up and give you a Starbucks gift card trying. I think Brendan would be offer you quite a challenge again there. Somebody else said, if everyone demanded peace instead of another television set, then there would be world peace. But the world generally strives for and believes that world peace is possible or achievable. And the world has a concerted effort to focus on various ways that they believe if we can get all of these things in order, then we can achieve world peace. So I'd like to bring up the slide for you. Some of the ways that the world is trying to achieve peace. Maybe we'll just start at the top and move around. First of all, you need a well-functioning government. Secondly, you need equitable distribution of resources. Thirdly, free flow of information. Fourthly, a sound business environment, a high level of human capital, acceptance of the rights, human rights of others, low levels of corruption, and good relationship with neighbors. And if we can achieve all of those things, then we can experience world peace. Now, how would you individually contribute to world peace? And we are taught, number one, cultivate your inner strength. Secondly, free yourself from corporate media. We need some peace right now. That's one way to find world peace, is everybody run into the arms of your mother and you'll find world peace. Thirdly, learn about nonviolence. Fourthly, be personal with everyone. And fifthly, find your passion. And if you can do all of that as an individual, and we can corporately work towards these goals, then we can find world peace. I think then we have to asked this question, and I'm asking it to you now. How are we doing? Right? Is the world at peace? Can you find true peace? Well, a journalist assigned to the Jerusalem Bureau took an apartment overlooking the Wailing Wall. And every day she would look out and she saw an old Jewish man praying vigorously. And so, being a journalist and wanting to find out more about the culture and what was happening, she went down to the Wailing Wall and she introduced herself to the old man. And she said, "You know, I've noticed from my apartment every day you come to the wall. How long have you been doing that, and what are you praying for?" And he said, "I have come here every day for 30 years. And in the morning, I pray for world peace and then for the brotherhood of men. I then go home and have a cup of tea and lunch, and I come back in the afternoon and I pray for the eradication of illness and disease from the earth." The journalist was amazed and she said, "How does it make you feel having come here every day for 30 years praying for these things?" And the old man looked at her sadly and said, "It's like I'm praying to a wall." It's not a true story, by the way. It's just it's a joke, right? The truth of the matter is that when it comes to world peace, the world is actually in increasing decay and decline. Evil is growing. Evil is being perpetuated around the globe, and terror is spreading. Unfortunately, as much as the world is trying to move towards peace, the reality of the world is that the world is in a state of decline and will continue to become less and less peaceful despite the natural attempts of man to try and bring about world peace. Now, in the last 3,000 years of recorded world history, the world in general has only been at peace 8% of that time, for a total of 286 years out of 3,000 years. In that time, 8,000 treaties or peace treaties have been made and broken. It's very obvious that the world is not a peaceful place. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 is actually a prophecy given, or an acknowledgement about the state of the world in which we are living. And Matthew chapter 24, verse 6 says that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Now, Jesus didn't share this or prophesy about this in order to scare us or discourage us or to give us a hopeless vision of what we can expect through the rest of our life and future, only that Jesus was giving us a realistic view of the world in which we are living in, because the world is still exposed to the effects of man's evil and sinful choices, actions as guided by his own selfish choices and dark desires. But Jesus shared this with us not to alarm us. He said, "Don't be alarmed." In John chapter 16, verse 33, he says, "Actually, I have told you these things, not to scare you, but so that in me you may have peace." You're not going to find peace apart from me. The world is not going to bring peace. The world is not going to become a peaceful place. You're not going to find it out there. If you do, it's temporary. It's only natural. It's not deep. It's not spiritual. But in me, you may have peace. In the world, he says, You will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And peace cannot be achieved in this world without or apart from Jesus. And when it comes to this world, peace is only really found when you step out of the world and into the kingdom of God. When you are a part of God's kingdom, then you can experience His peace, and His peace in and through you can affect the world. But it's still only to be discovered, to be found, to be experienced in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, who came from a God of peace to establish a kingdom of peace between you and God and between you and your fellow men. John chapter 14, verse 25 to 31. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, not the peace that the world offers, but the peace that I give to you. Therefore, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We can trust in the peace of God. It's God's peace that is given to us. The peace between Jesus and his Father is the same peace that he shares with us. In verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." My peace. I am sharing with you my peace, and I am bringing you into the place of my peace. Perfect peace with my Father. Amazing that he said that on the eve of going to the cross. Tomorrow, I'm going to go to the cross, and there I'm going to open up that way once and for all, an opportunity for you to enter into peace with my Father. I'm going to satisfy his justice. I'm going to purchase your forgiveness. I'm going to provide for your righteousness. And I'm going to bring you as sheep right into the presence of ultimate peace with my Father. And when you're in that place of peace with my Father, nothing can take it from you. Amen? Nothing can destroy that peace. Nothing can rob you of your peace. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have also the good news of this peace that we've experienced, the responsibility then to share that peace with the world, with others. Acts chapter 10, verse 36 says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Today I want to share with you ways that we can find peace in the kingdom of God. We can find peace with God because the dividing wall of hostility, as we read earlier in Ephesians, was removed and we are loved with God. But when it comes to peace with God, how many of you would also like peace of mind? Not only peace of heart and peace in your relationship with God, but also peace of mind. We want to be in that place where we're able to rest, not able to worry. Still remembering Pastor Tim, your message on don't worry. I think it was even the first message that you preached, encouraging us to have peace, to feel safe in the presence of the Lord, to feel free to enjoy life, family, friends, work, church, hobbies, entertainment. We want that place where we're able to be at peace, not burdened down with worries that rob us from the vigor of life and purpose. When we can't find peace, when we don't have peace of mind, oftentimes we can get depressed or discouraged. We can get angry. We can even get upset and even lash out to the Lord. Be and get upset with God. You know, God, why are you allowing me to go through this situation or this test or this trial, this situation? Oftentimes that also steals our peace. But I want to encourage you today, and I'd like to just introduce my first point with Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 9, where we read this. Be anxious for nothing, or don't worry. Have peace of mind, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will do two things. What does it say? Will guard your hearts. Secondly, your minds. Amen. Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and what will happen? And the God of peace will be with you. Peace of heart, peace of mind. Where does it begin? Through prayer and supplication. And so firstly, how do we walk in the peace of God? How do we develop the peace of God? How do we have the peace of God in our hearts and in our minds? Peace comes through prayer. Amen. Jesus taught us how to pray. How many of you are familiar with the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven. We know the rest of the prayer. Having established the fact that we have peace with God, our Father in heaven, Jesus then focused on how can you stay in peace? How can you live in peace? How can you dwell in the kingdom in peace? And he says this, he says, give us this day our daily bread. What's the next line? And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. As we are desiring peace, we recognize and we know that in order to live in peace, you have to be able to forgive those that have trespassed or sinned or hurt you. It takes a lot of energy to harbor resentments and nurse unhealed wounds. Grudges are consuming. Complaining, as we learned a few weeks ago, is consuming and destructive. Nelson Mandela said this. He said, as I walked out the door toward the gate that would lead me to my freedom, I knew if I didn't leave my bitterness and hatred behind, I would still be in prison. We are in prison if we don't take the advice of Jesus. Daily in prison, daily discouraged, daily downtrodden, daily agitated, daily consumed, if we don't understand that Jesus has opened up the gates of freedom and we can walk out and have peace with God, peace with man, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Hebrews 12, verse 14, gives us this encouragement. Make every effort. Make every effort. Is it something that you're daily praying about, daily conscious about, daily thinking about? That you should be making every effort throughout the day. It says to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God or the peace of God that you've experienced, the peace with God the Father, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. You see, you can't have peace with God or making every effort to live in peace with everyone if you allow resentment, unforgiveness, bitterness, anger to take root in our hearts. When that bitterness takes root, it said it grows up not only to destroy your peace, but it also causes trouble and defiles many. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. But also, Lord, help us to live every day in peace by forgiving those that we need to forgive. Throughout the New Testament, as you read, as prayers are introduced, as the apostles were praying for the churches, the most common themed prayer throughout Scripture is a prayer that people would walk in the peace that God provides for them. And nearly every single letter, from Romans through to Philemon, begins with a prayer. As in Romans, and these aren't on the screen, but just read through a few examples. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 16 verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. 1 and 2 Corinthians, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace with God. Amen. And how do we achieve that peace? Through prayer and supplication. Secondly, not only do we have peace through prayer, but peace comes through pursuit. We have to be intentional about pursuing peace and promoting peace. We have a Christian duty to extend this value of God's kingdom into the world. As we see even in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 to 10, we read this, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because of this, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must, let's read this together. What's the next line? They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We spread the peace of God. We pursue the peace of God. We share the peace of God by living as shining examples of God's peace. As we live our lives in the peace of God, so too we share with and spread the peace of God with others. Peace should be evident in our homes. You know, Red and I, we were pastoring in Harare. We were establishing and planning a church, and we were reaching out to people. We were sharing the love of God with people. We were building relationships with people. We were intentional, and Reda had a hairdresser who was living an alternate lifestyle. He was in a homosexual relationship, but he was one of the greatest hairdressers around. Rita enjoyed having her hair done. But every day that Rita was sitting in that chair, she was talking about the peace that she had coming into her life because of the relationship that she had with God through Jesus Christ. And we were going to be away. for a week, and we needed somebody to house it. And we asked this young man, would you mind coming and staying at our house for a week? And would you mind looking after our pets, looking after our home for us while we're away? And he said, absolutely, I'll do that for you. And so he came and he stayed for the week. Now, on the outsiders looking in, some of them had various religious and kind of Christianese funny beliefs, and they were like, you know, Pastor, that's not very good. You're putting somebody in your house that's carrying various sinful spirits, and you're going to be in trouble when you come back to your home. There's going to be all of these weird things that are going to go on, and you shouldn't invite people like that to stay in your home, and you're going to, you know, there was all of these, some of these cautions that we started hearing. We're being told these, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't allow people like that to stay in your home. Well, when we got back, and we again started engaging with this young man, he said that, you know what? He said, when I walked into your house, he says, I don't know what it is, but I immediately felt a spirit of peace in your home. I've never in all my life experienced a week of peace like I had staying in your home while I was there. Continued to open up the door of relationship with him, and I believe we made a tremendous difference in his life. But there should be peace evident in our homes, peace in our relationship, peace with our children, peace in our, you know, when you come into our home, and if you were to stay with us for any length of time, I hope that you would see the peace of God in action. There should be peace in our work. We should be peaceful at work. There should be peace in our relationships, in our churches, in our countenance, in everything that we do. It says that we must seek peace and pursue it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, because peacemakers, people that are being obedient to pursue peace, to seek peace in their life, it says they shall be called the children of God. Doesn't point to any other characteristic, any other value, any other spiritual development. You know, those that attend church every Sunday for 5 years, they shall be children of God. Or, you know, those who are doing X, Y, and Z should be doing all the checklists, shall be children of God. The way that you know you're a child of God, the way that you are identified as a child of God in the world, is because you are seeking peace. You're a peacemaker. And you have a moral and a spiritual obligation to promote an environment of peace. Amen. You are to be called a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper, as the world would choose a peacekeeper. All this is possible because Jesus, we look back to Jesus, all of this is possible because we look back to Jesus, who has removed the instrument of conflict, sin, the ultimate selfishness of heart and mind that causes to put people first or put themselves first. But when sin is removed through the work of Jesus Christ, we can then put others first. And others need to become a priority, and conflict is resolved. I want to close by another shepherd story. A few weeks ago, I shared a shepherd story illustration in the fields of Ireland. But Philip Keller, he was a sheep rancher for 8 years. And he said this, a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. He goes through the shepherd's psalm and explains it from the point of view of a shepherd. And he said hundreds of times, this is what he said, hundreds of times I have watched an old, austere ewe, E-W-E, walk up to a younger one which might have been feeding contentedly or resting quietly in some sheltered spot. She would arc her neck, tilt her head, dilate her eyes, and approach the other in a stiff-legged gait. All of this was saying in unmistakable terms, move over, get out of my way, give ground or else. And if the other younger ewe did not immediately leap to her feet in self-defense, she would be butted unmercifully. Or if she did rise to accept the challenge, one or two strong bumps would soon send her scurrying for safety. But one point that always interested me very much was that whenever I, as the shepherd, came into view and my presence attracted the attention of the sheep quickly forgot their foolish rivalries and stopped their fighting. The shepherd's presence made all the difference in their behavior. Now, it's an illustration of sheep, but it's an illustration that we can draw from as well. As we seek peace and pursue it, we need to allow the presence of Jesus as our shepherd to influence all of our behavior, especially the way that we treat one another and treat those around us. It's in the shepherd's presence living in us that causes us to make peace, and to pursue it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on the gift of peace that we have received from you this Christmas season, yes, Lord, we are grateful, we are thankful for the work of the cross. As we remember today through communion your sacrifice that removed the dividing wall of hostility, we thank you, Lord, that we can have peace with God. But we also thank you that we have a purpose now through you, and that purpose is to seek peace and to pursue it, not only in our own lives, but, Lord God, to promote peace in the relationships that we have with others. Thank you, Lord, that it's in you and through you that we can experience true peace. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reminder today, Lord God, that, Lord God, that if there is that root of bitterness, if there is that root of resentment, if there is that root of hurt, of unforgiveness, Lord, where we're in an environment where we feel trapped and imprisoned, Lord, remind us today that we can be released, that we can walk free, that we can experience peace with God and a renewal of the joy of our salvation. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. I just ask you in Jesus' name just to extend that peace, extend the gift of your peace to each one that is here today. Lord, remind us of your peace, but also renew our peace. Thank you that you are the God of peace. And that when we are with you, that when you are with us, that you give us the gift of your peace. And we can rely on your peace. We can stand on your peace. We can trust in your peace. And we can extend peace to those around us. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for your encouragement today. Thank you for the peace that we are celebrating today, the peace that is found in Jesus Christ. And everybody said, Amen.